What I've learned is when you ask people what they want, it's important to truly listen and then to act upon creating workplaces where people can show up authentically and be who they are. We want to create workplaces where people feel included and that they belong and that their voice matters.
You are listening to the Culture Coach Podcast. This is the place where CEOs and people-first leaders come to boost productivity, extinguish burnout, and cultivate a vibrant culture that reflects a fully integrated mission, vision, and core values. Get ready to take your culture to the next level. I am your host, Wendy Brand. Hi, welcome back. This week's podcast is episode 2 of 4, which was recorded at CultureCon in November. You may hear some background noise as we were seated right outside the conference hall at the Planet Hollywood Hotel in Las Vegas, and there was an event setting up right behind us. It's not perfect, and Steve, my husband and podcast producer, is probably going to kill me, but I was excited to get this guest recorded, and I did not want to let anything stop us. So my guest this week is Gianna Driver. Gianna has nearly 2 decades of experience as a human-centric people leader, passionate about the intersection of culture and performance. Gianna has been the chief people officer of Lattice, which, if you're not familiar, it's a people platform where over 5,000 of the world's most strategic HR teams run their performance, engagement, career development, goals, compensation strategies, and people operations. She also served as the chief human HR officer, the CHRO, at Exabeam, which is a global cybersecurity company managing the strategy and processes related to building, investing in, and retaining talent. Gianna is a recognized HR industry speaker. She is frequently quoted in the media, including publications such as Fortune, Forbes, US News and World Report, Insider, and the Wall Street Journal. I am so excited to share this episode with you, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. My only regret is that it is not longer and I didn't ask more questions. Enjoy.
All right, Gianna, welcome to the Culture Coach Podcast. It's so great to have you here.
Thanks, Wendy. I'm super excited to be here.
Well, let's dig into the culture conversation. I'm curious if in your career, if there was one defining moment when you really started to understand the importance of culture in an organization.
Yeah, there have been multiple moments in my career where I've conducted what I call staying interviews. And staying interviews are where you interview typically long-tenured employees, and generally they're employees who are high-performing. And one of the things that I realized as a consistent theme in these conversations is that people remained at companies because of the culture. Yes, they had career progression and all these other things, but what I've learned is when people truly feel connected to the culture and to each other, they'll stay. Happy employees are employees who remain at companies.
Yes, I love that. And so one of the questions I have for you is around belonging and engagement. Is there anything that you've seen or had success in when it comes to creating that sense of belonging and engagement to help them stay?
Yeah. Well, so right now we live in a world where diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging is sometimes a polarizing topic. What I would say is, regardless of the words that we want to use to describe belonging and inclusivity, what I've learned is when you ask people what they want, it's important to truly listen and then to act upon creating workplaces where people can show up authentically and be who they are. Some tools and mechanisms for this are engagement surveys are always wonderful, but then having smaller focused groups, leveraging our teams to really understand employee sentiment, also partnering with employee resource groups and making sure that they are front and center before you roll out a policy or a new program. Check in with your ERG leaders and say, what are we not thinking about? How do you think this is going to be perceived and interpreted by the groups that you represent? Because ultimately, regardless of one's views on DEIB, we want to create workplaces where people feel included and that they belong and that their voice matters.
Yes, I agree. So important. I don't know how, if you've had experience in smaller organizations at all.
Yes.
When it's not big enough, maybe for an employee resource group, are there, or have you had experienced employee resource groups at smaller organizations or only in larger organizations?
Well, typically a really small organization doesn't yet have an employee resource group or an ERG. So if it's a company of 50 or fewer people or even 100 or fewer people, often there's not an employee resource group. And I've experienced that often one of the first ERGs to be created are typically gender-based ones, so like a women's group or something like that. But for people who might be in organizations that are smaller who don't have employee resource groups, I still think there's an opportunity to lean into creating community and gathering people in small groups and or large groups and having a conversation around, what do you love about our culture? What are some things that we could do better? And what are some solutions and ideas that you have? Not promising we're going to do everything, but what are some ideas? Because if you crowdsource ideas, you're more likely to find solutions that are going to appeal to your employees.
That's great. And I know that it's so important when you get that feedback to make sure that you're following up. And so is there any sort of rhythm or practice that you have experienced that's been helpful in kind of circling back once you get the feedback?
Yes. So one of the most important things we can do as leaders is when you ask for feedback, and it could be your annual engagement survey, I think it's important to say, I asked you what you thought, here's what I heard, and here's what I'm going to do about it. Here's our action plan. And you can also say, here's what we heard, and here's some of the things that we're not going to do right now, because it's important that people feel heard. Because if you ask people what they think, and then you say, here's what I heard, and you do nothing about it, that is going to start to erode trust with your employees. So circle back, say, here's what I heard you say, here's our action plan for what we're going to do, and then follow up at some interval. It could be quarterly, it could be every 2 quarters, but I think that's really important. The other part, Wendy, that you asked outside of the annual engagement survey is this type of listening, active listening to understand, this type of feedback needs to happen more than annually. So I think it's important for organizations to have regular feedback mechanisms and listening mechanisms so that we understand what our employees are feeling and thinking and wanting. So that could be pulse surveys, that could be active circles and smaller group conversations that happen. This could be in Zoom, this could be, you know, remote. There are different ways. It could be in person, right? Different ways to lean in and listen.
Great. So how do you ensure that culture remains a priority when organizations are changing or growing, you know, at the speed of light?
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to recognize that change is the only constant. We live in a world where change has always been the norm, change is the norm, and change will continue to be the norm. And so in a world of constant flux and change, I think it's important for us to remember to lean into our humanity, to lean into culture, and to acknowledge that culture is also evolving. Culture isn't static. And if you feel it is static, that's a wake-up call. That is concerning. Culture should be shifting and evolving and morphing. Change doesn't have to be bad. Change is scary for humans. But I think let's be intentional about the culture we want to create and then hold ourselves accountable for actioning the types of behaviors that we want to be. I believe in cultural ambassadors. Are you familiar with cultural ambassadors? Yeah, I've in different organizations, could be smaller, could also be mid or larger sized, polling employees to understand who are the cultural ambassadors in the organization, irrespective of tenure, of level, of function, who are the people who really have the heart and soul of this company? And who are the people that we want to, as we grow and hire people, we want to have more people like this? And those are typically a small group of people, and every organization has these cultural ambassadors. I think it's important for leaders to identify these cultural ambassadors and then to create some type of a group mechanism so that we can have conversations with those cultural ambassadors, because those are the people who have the heart and soul of that company.
Yes, I love that. And we've used that in other organizations, and as you mentioned, like there are great change agents too, like standing up and saying, here's what we're thinking. What's the pulse of the organization?
Change champions. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as we go about implementing changes in our organization, as leaders, let's be proactive and say, employees, here's what we heard you say, here's what we are actioning, here's what we're trying. Give us feedback, mm-hmm. because what we decide to do today doesn't have to be what we are doing forever. We reserve the right to pivot and shift and modify and improve and evolve, and we want you to be a part of that journey with us.
I love that. I love that. Well, this has been such a rich, quick conversation, but I really appreciate your time. If there was one thing you could tell new leaders coming in that feel, you know, that are helping to kind of frame culture or helping to drive culture in their organization, what type of advice would you give them?
I would say approach from a curiosity mindset. And remember to be adaptive, right? So culture and leadership, for that matter, is not static, set it and forget it. Approach this from the lens of the mindset of someone who is eager to learn. You're going to try something, be nimble, and be courageous to also say, okay, we're trying this and we're going to pivot and shift a little bit, or we're going to do, you know, we're going to do this. Like, it's okay to find your voice and to tell people very authentically what you're doing and why you're doing it. And I've learned that when leaders are authentic and show up that way, employees respond in kind, and they are also honest and true, and will give you their heart and their best work.
Yes. All right. Gianna, thank you so much.
Thanks. Been great. Yeah. Thank you so much.
What a great conversation. Here are my top takeaways. Number one, stay interviews are where you interview long tenured employees that are generally high performing to understand what keeps them at the organization. Number two, when people truly feel connected to the company and its culture, they want to stay. Number three, engagement surveys, smaller focus groups in person or on Zoom, and partnering with ERGs can be a great way to listen and receive feedback from employees. Number four, it's important to follow up from annual engagement surveys. You should circle back and repeat back what you heard, introduce an action plan, and then follow up in a quarter or two to share progress. Number five, change is the only constant. Lean into humanity and culture. Culture is not static. Number six, seek out the culture ambassadors, those that have the heart and soul of the company, and create a mechanism for hearing from those ambassadors. That's it. Those are the key takeaways. What a great conversation. I still have two more interviews from that CultureCon conference back in November that I'm excited to share with you over the coming week. So stay tuned. I hope you'll be back. Take care. Have a great week.